The world shall be judged by you. Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Know not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be here tonight. Lord, we lift up Bob, that Father, you give him healing, Lord, restore his lungs to him. And Lord, for all of those that are on our prayer list right now, Lord, for Becky, for Sister Theta, for Sister Mary as she prepares to travel, Lord, for everyone that we have brought forward collectively to you, we just ask your hand of mercy be on them. Lord, be with us now as we go into this passage of your scripture, and Lord, help us to glean precious truths for how we ought to behave at church from it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. One of my favorite stories when I was in kindergarten or first grade when the teacher read it, was the story about this guy who would pass by a bakery every day, and he would stop smelling the fresh bread and go, ah. Never having any money to go in and buy the bread, he would always just go by and then he would promptly go about his day. Well, the baker saw him doing this through the door, and it was driving him nuts. And finally, he kind of sat by the door. The guy came by one morning and stopped him. What are you doing? Well, I don't have enough money to come in and buy the bread, but I always like to come by and smell it. You do such a wonderful job. It smells so delicious. And the baker got all upset, had a cop come and arrest him for stealing. Stealing what? Stealing his sense. He was stealing his sense. That's not a pun. That's just the story, right? When you're kindergarten, first grade, you don't question it. You stole the smell. And he goes before the judge, and the judge goes, "What is this? What's going on?" And the baker says, "Every morning he comes by and he benefits from my hard work. And yet he never pays me anything." And the judge goes, "Oh, I understand. He comes in and he steals your bread." He goes, No, he comes by and he just steals the smells." And the judge goes, "Oh, that's very worrisome." And he goes, well, what are you looking to have done here?" He goes, "Well, I want 10 gold coins." Right? Whatever magical land we're in, gold coins. We have 10 of them. And he asks the man, he goes, "Do you have 10 gold coins?" He goes, "No, I don't have 10 gold coins." He goes, "You've got 1 week to come up with 10 gold coins, and both of you come back into the court." Well, he goes and he borrows from all of his friends, and he sells some of his belongings, and he gets 10 gold coins. And he comes back before the judge with a bag of money, sweat all over his brow. And he comes in and he hands the bag of money to the judge as it's time for their session. And the judge tells the baker, "Come on up here, baker." And the baker comes up. He goes, "Now, baker, close your eyes." And the baker goes, "Oh, I'm going to get my money." And he takes the bag of money and he rings it by his ear. He goes, "You hear that? Oh, that sounds good, judge. I like that a whole lot." He goes, "Are you imagining all the things that you could do with that money?" He goes, "Yeah, absolutely." He goes, "Good. Hey, guy, come get your money, right? You got the smells. You got the sounds. Case dismissed." Amen. And what we're looking at, for whatever reason, this passage of Scripture has always reminded me of this absolutely ridiculous lawsuit. Now, what we're looking at is when church members have a matter between them. Right? This is a senseless thing. One of the things you could do there is, let's say, Sister Sue and I are neighbors, and my kids are playing in the backyard, right? And my kids keep going over the fence and just crushing all of her flowers. Crushing all of her flowers. And she comes over and she says, "Hey, Matt, you know, listen, your kids came over. You know what? I love your kids. Love you guys. Hope everything's doing well. But you're crushing the flowers." And I go, "Well, that's your problem, not mine. They're just kids." And I slam the door. Now, technically, under this way, there was a way for one person to bring another before, and you'd have a jury of a kind sit there. You'd present your case, and someone would sit there, and they would say, "Well, no, that's ridiculous. Your kids need to not crush the flowers. So here's what we recommend. Either you pay to have a landscaper, or you go and under certain supervision of another neighbor who will witness it, you'll go, you'll replant all those things, and we need to find a way to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And we would pay heavily for this process so that there wouldn't be a lot of what we call frivolous lawsuits. Now, that's what was going on in the city of Corinth, right? Somebody was dinging my car. Someone was trampling on my flowers. Somebody kept giving me dirty looks. Somebody said something bad about my business in the newspaper, and I'm not happy about it. These are small matters. Now, why do I clarify that? Because many people have used this passage of Scripture to say that if a law is broken within the church, we don't go to the law. That's not what that is. Right? If there is some law that is broken, we have to deal with that properly. Right? That is not something that I, as the pastor, will stand over a judge and say, oh, you killed a person. Well, I absolve that. That doesn't happen. In order to make things right, we've got to get things right in the proper forum. And part of getting things right in God's eyes is we've got to handle that with the law. You've got to take that and take that into the law. So if we've got abuses, we've got thefts, we've got bad things that are happening within the church that have broken the law, that have hurt people, this does not match that. These are small matters. You have a matter. Not a law that is broken, but a matter between members. Right? So again, if it breaks the law, there's a very solid way that we handle that. Anything smaller than that, we want to take care of it within the church if we can. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are some things that just can't, there's very little we can do, right? If I'm backing my car out and I nail Brother Eugene's car, right, it is perfectly acceptable for me to call my insurance, him to call his insurance, and we handle the insurance deal. You understand? It's very simple. We can let that happen. What shouldn't happen is for me to get angry and go after him and him to get angry and come after me, and next thing you know, we're both on Facebook about it. Right? And we're sitting and we're making a big deal about it, right? A fender bender turned into fist fight at the Baptist church. Right? That's not what we want. What we want is to handle certain business right here in the church. Right? Now again, towing the line between a law being broken and just settling a dispute. Right? If me and Brother Tim go in together and we're gonna buy Brother Dennis, I don't know, a birthday card. And he's going to give X amount of money. And I say, brother, I promise I'll give you that money next week. And next week comes and goes and I don't have that. It would be perfectly acceptable for him to come to me. And, well, I guess I'm the pastor, so it's a dumb illustration. But we could go to the pastor. We could go to another brother or sister in the church and say, hey, listen, here's this problem. How do we handle this to keep this from becoming a big deal? And one of the many reasons why Paul makes this solid distinction is, one, there was many problems like this in Corinth, no doubt. But two, there's a propensity among us to go from solid, unified church membership to a game of dodgeball real fast. You see that among churches where, well, you know, brother so-and-so legitimately did this to hurt my feelings, legitimately did this to hurt my finances, legitimately did this to hurt my business, and now I'm going to hurt them publicly for doing this. We don't do that. We handle that. That is something that we handle within the church body. Now, the title that I put on this message, and I was kind of joking, Brother Dennis. Dennis, you put the titles on the sermons. You do a pretty good job. But I was joking with somebody. I go, his titles aren't always my titles. I think it was Sister Nancy. His titles aren't always my titles, but they're pretty close. I can normally guess them. Personally, I think it's ridiculous to title a message, but how else will we find them, right? But what I put on this was a church needs to wash its laundry, not air it out. Not air it out. Now, again, if we know that there are some things that we just can't handle, there's steps that we take. But the bulk majority of matters against each other that we have should be settled face to face, should be settled right here among each other. Right? Again, you see the conflict that creeps into churches. You see the issues that creep in. And instead of us looking at each other saying, hey, listen, this, you did this wrong, and it crawled all the way underneath my fingernails, and it either needs to stop or retribution needs to be made, this is not good. And then we as mature individuals need to be able to sit there and look at somebody who's approached us that way and have a mature, reasonable response. It is not our goal to seek justice or vengeance against each other, right? Because we've lost the sense of justice, right? Justice in the Bible would be if I run over Sister Glenda's goat, I owe her three. That's biblical justice, right? Three or seven, depends on what. There's different number, but I would have to give her a multiplied number of what she lost. Biblically, that's what I would have to do. That's justice. If I take it to Twitter, if I go out there and I go to the coffee shop and I start running people through the mud, that's vengeance. As the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Right now, I don't know about you, but whenever I'd hear somebody preach on this passage, I'd get uncomfortable. Because we've all seen it, right? We have all seen this. Where brother goes against brother, and they'll call other churches, they'll get on the social media, they'll do whatever they can to get each other's attention, to drag each other through the mud. That is not what we do. We handle the business inside the house. Now, there was a comedian, Red Green. I know, Brother Mark, you like Red Green. He had this saying one time. He goes, every man has a mountain in his life that he climbs. If he's a single man, that mountain is laundry. And I tell you what, that's the case. I figured, you know what, as a single man, I always had a mountain of laundry. And I figured when I'd get married and one day we'd grow up and we'd get our own washer dryer and that mountain would go away. And then we had kids and the mountain just got bigger. It kept changing colors because it was getting done. It was never the same mountain like it was before, but it was always a mountain. Right? It's just you do the laundry and you put it away. When we sit there, we say you don't air your dirty laundry out there. We can't fall into the sinful aspect of that where we pretend laundry don't exist. Right? That's the bachelor. That's the single man's version of it. That's Red Green taking all the laundry, putting it into a hatchback, filling it with water with a garden hose and shaking the thing. Right? That is hiding it. The purpose of doing business, the purpose of what he's saying, isn't that you don't handle the problems, it's that you handle the problems correctly. You handle it right. Don't magnify it. Don't blow it up. Don't turn it into a game. Do it right. All right, you'll get to people every now and then, they'll get to arguing back and forth. And somebody will come by and ask a very poignant question. I love this poignant question when it comes down to two people arguing. Where does this end? You ever, we've got some spouses in the room, let's just be honest. You ever get into an argument and ask yourself, what is it going to take to get me out of this thing? Like, what am I looking for? What am I going to get out of this? Right? We've got to ask that question. Where does this end? I think it was my uncle that asked that of me and my brother. My brother and I, we would bicker, man. We would fight. And it would turn from calling names to pushing each other. And one time my uncle's sitting there and he goes, where does it end with you two? Like, what can he say that'll get you off his back? And what can he say to get you to leave him alone? Like, where does it end? Oh, I don't know. I just like messing with him. And really, I mean, let's be honest. How many fights have you seen that's the case? How many fights have you seen among adults where there's no winning point? Right? Well, I think it's red. Well, I think it's blue. The answer is solved when we discover what color it is. Well, you're this. You're that. Well, remember that time you did this? There's no end to that. There's no win. We're fighting for points and no one's keeping score. Right? We're children playing tennis. And there's no scoring points. There's no winning. We're just out there in the heat swatting at the air. What we need is to be able to handle business effectively. Don't make a public spectacle of it. Now again, sometimes we say that phrase, don't make a spectacle. We could tend to mean we don't deal with it. We don't talk about it. No, the etymology of the phrase making a spectacle of something is what your spectacles do. They magnify things. Make them bigger than what they are so you can comprehend them. Or so you can feel good about your comprehension of them. That's what spectacles do. When I make a spectacle of something, I blow it far out of proportion. Right? If we're sitting there again between church members and there's a small matter. Right? Hey, listen. You kind of dinged my car. Oh, brother, I'm so sorry. Here, I tell you what. Work out how much that is.
right? And I'll pay. And if it's a lot, like you got to do the whole bumper, I'll call my insurance, you call your insurance, we'll take care of this. Done. And instead of, Brother Mike, you see what he did? He dinged my car. And Brother Mike said, yeah, I get that that's wrong. And then all of a sudden Charlie comes over. I said, Charlie, he's not even dinging my car. Do you see? It's like he wasn't even paying attention. Like he was distracted or something. And from that conversation, it goes all the way through the line to where the guy at the donut shop, right, firmly believes that someone was drunk driving through the church parking lot, digging cars left and right. I laugh about that, but man, does that happen. The telephone game gets played. Things get blown way out of proportion. And all of a sudden, there's this church that's completely falling apart because of a 2-inch ding in a car. Right? Or because somebody stepped on this, somebody did that, I tell you what, the last time we did this, last time we had a conference, so-and-so, they moved from their seat to sit in my seat, so I'm going to get there early. And again, we laugh, but man, that's a Baptist thing to do. Not just the seat thing, but I'm going to take what you did, put it in my pocket, and we're going to come back to this. Right? The Lord may forgive and forget, but I take notes, right? I met a person one time. They swore to me that in their house, on their dresser, they kept sticky notes of everybody who ever irritated them, did something wrong, and never apologized. I go, well, what do you do when they apologize? I go, well, if I believe them, I take the post-it note down and I throw it away. I go, I know I was risking finding myself on a post-it note, but I asked, how often do you take them off? How often does that happen? Not very often. But, like, nobody ever apologizes. Oh, they do, but most of the time, the people on there, they don't even know they bothered me. This was right as Pinterest was catching hold, so there was nothing else to decorate your dresser with, right? No, we hold on to things. We make a spectacle. We blow things out of proportion. Right? I bring gossip into the problem. I bring hateful words into the problem instead of bringing solutions. I'm sorry. Let me fix that. Let's take care of this. Listen, what happened here was inappropriate, or as I keep getting back to, what happened here was illegal, and this is a completely different ballgame. What happened here was not just offensive, but what happened here was wrong and abusive, and we got to handle that a different way. You understand? We got to know where that line is. And we got to be very solid on how we handle it. But if we're talking about small issues within the church, much like we talked about last Sunday, we should be able to stand up and handle them in reality with maturity. Right? I don't know who out there still needs to hear this, but whatever your problem is, Facebook won't fix it. Leaving reviews on things won't fix it. I saw a review on one of our sites one time, and they were mad, right? They listed the name of the person that bothered them. They listed the day that the thing happened. Oh, they just, the whole book. The only problem was is we never met that person, and we were closed that day. How any of that could have happened, I don't know. But we seek, again, if I can hurt you, I get justice. But in all actuality, those people just go on to continue to build bigger messes and invent messes where there's never messes to begin with. Right? If I immediately hurt somebody, if I offend somebody, if I accidentally take from somebody, I go over and I say, I'm sorry. Let me restore that. And that's it. When we're dealing with small matters, it should be small potatoes. They really should be. Small matters should stay small matters. Big matters, legitimately big matters, need to be handled in that respect. But let's keep the small things small. Right? Again, that mountains out of molehills deal. If it's a small problem, deal with it. Because there are bigger molehills for a church to handle that need better focus than what we're putting on the smaller things. We're wasting all of our attention and all of our focus on the small things. Facebook won't fix it. Twitter won't fix it. Recruiting people to your side in the small matter will not fix it. Good clean communication will. Having somebody to sit there within the church to mediate your discussion will fix it. But man, turning a church into a dodgeball game, unless, you know, I'm blowing a whistle, we don't do it. Right? There better be real dodgeballs in our hands is what I'm trying to say. And I would say this, and I mentioned that the church should mediate in these small things. I don't need to go to the court of Twitter, or the court of Facebook, the court of the local donut shop to get my justice. Right? It should be a simple matter of, hey, you know, pastor, you know, me and brother so-and-so, we got this thing, you know, carding. I keep picking on cards. I don't know why. You know, he never paid me back for gas. Well, whatever it is, right? Hey, we got this. We want to talk about it, but every time we talk about it, it keeps getting heated, right? We're two bulls staring at each other. Can you mediate? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've got rules for it, too, right? I'll sit you down. These are the rules for the discussion. This is how we handle it, and I'll sit in the corner and I'll referee all day. If it stops problems from getting out of hand in the church. Because the alternative is worse. Right? I tell you what, it's much better to stop the problems, stop things from happening, than to clean them up. It is. Right? Well, you know what? Every now and then you're going to make a mess. You don't have to. It takes maturity. Even so much to come to a brother or sister in Christ and say, I was angry, I was out of line, and I'm sorry. Well yeah, but brother, you don't understand. I don't want to give them that. Would you give it to the Lord? Would you give it up for him? Because he gave it up for you. He came all the way for you. You can't cross an aisle for them. I tell you what, I've sat in churches where it seems like it's oil and water sometimes. You can feel the tension. You can cut it with a knife. There are some people that refuse to make eye contact with others. There are some people that refuse to talk to each other for ridiculous things. I've known families that refuse to get along, and they can't remember when that started. Well, why doesn't your family talk? Oh, it doesn't. We never have. We've never got along. They're this, they're that, and they got all the names for them. Well, what happened? It happened so long ago, I don't even remember. All I know is that they're poor quality people. But aren't they brothers or sisters in Christ? Well, I mean, yeah, if you can call them that. Or I love this one. The Bible says I gotta love them. It doesn't say I gotta like them. Remember that sermon we preached this morning? Aren't you glad God more than loves you? Aren't you? Because I tell you what, no matter what somebody does to you here on earth, it is nowhere near the stuff that the Lord has forgiven. Right? Now, small matters. Small matters. I know that it's not always that cut and dry. There are bigger things. It's not all that cut and dry. But for the small matters, it should be. Right? If we go out and I give Brother Art money to go buy a sandwich and he comes back and he ate my sandwich, we can handle that. Right? If I go over and I don't know if a member goes over, I don't want to pick on me anymore. I go over or somebody goes over and they punch Brother Dennis in the eye, that's another conversation. It's another thing. Don't do that. He looks scrappy. Right, but that's a different thing. If I find out that there's gross abuse in the church, that's different. That's not as cut and dry, right? Something small, that should be. The Bible gives us all kinds of things. And Paul goes on. He goes, listen, he goes, isn't it better for us to do it? Us with the book of the understanding of what God says to do when there's conflict with all this stuff in the Old Testament we can even use as a reference in our decision making. Wouldn't it be much better us than a bunch of Facebook commenters? Wouldn't it be much better us than your buddies down at the shop? Wouldn't it be much better us than your gossip circle outside of the church? Wouldn't we together find a better solution than the rumor mill? It doesn't work that way. I've never seen the rumor mill turn out anything good. I've never sat there on social media when somebody brought up a dirty laundry between spouses, between people. I've never seen anybody make a complaint and anything effective come out of that. Never once. I've never seen anybody sit there and bicker and argue to death and see the church come out better for it. Let's handle our business, but handle it properly. And I'll say this, the church should be and should always be in the right shape to mediate those kind of things. You understand? But when Danielle and I, we got into our first argument, I picked up my phone and I called my mommy. Mommy needs to know about this. I didn't know what my mom, I was like, man, mom, and this happened and this, and I'll tell Matt, am I your wife? No. You need to be having this conversation with your wife. Click. Hung up on me. Sister Glenda hung up on me. And she was absolutely right. What are you doing? Let's talk. I need to vent. No, you don't. You need to solve it. Right? The solution to the, I came in and the furnace smelled like it was on fire. The solution wasn't to open the door. It was to shut it off. Stop the problem. And you'll feel a whole lot better. Right? It's the difference between relieving pressure and getting rid of it entirely. Now again, small matters. I'm going to stop saying small matters because we all just assume we're talking small matters. Right? It is much better for me to cross that aisle, to pick up that phone, and to clarify things. My absolute favorite is this scenario right here. Hey, brother, you said this, and I took it negatively. Is this how you meant it? Oh, no. And I can clarify. And I know that because of that conversation, you understand where I came from. I understand that I might have gotten a little, I might have said that a little jumbled, and I need to be more clear. But brother stayed brother, sister stayed sisters, and it's good. As opposed to the person that said, I never said anything, but that really irritated me. That was years ago. And let me show you, this was the context. I didn't mean that. That's not anywhere close to what I meant. You caught the tail end of it. You walked in. You heard half the conversation. It's not at all. Right? And here, look, see? Oh, I was wrong? And you know, I've never seen that either, where somebody realized, hey, I was wrong about being angry all these many years, so I'm just going to stop being angry. For whatever reason, they still hang on to it. Let it go. As Paul says, would you rather, what is it? Would you rather not be defrauded? Are you so concerned about these things? Verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now again, this is further proof that we're talking about small matter. Because bigger things have bigger consequences, bigger things we've got to handle. Right? But someone steals your sandwich. Is that really all that big of a deal? Somebody calls you a name you don't like? Is that really life-altering? Somebody shoots you an ugly face? Is that really worth getting all that heated about? I mean, are you that serious about not being defrauded? You can't lose a sandwich. You can't lose a face. You can't just, well, that's just what they did. Take it on the wrist, move on. Right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to remember all the times God forgave me. It's going to make me super easy to take out a little sticker. I forgive that and I'm going to walk away. They don't deserve forgiveness. What are you going to get out of it? What are you going to get out of it? Well, I tell you what, they embarrassed me publicly. No one remembers but you. I've been there. Right? I mean, look at me. I'm a clown. I've been there. Right? We're very serious, authoritative people in my life. Just flat out embarrassed me. And you know what? If I were to go to a friend who was there in the room, they probably won't remember it. If I were to go to that person and say, you embarrassed me, you hurt my feelings, how dare you? They probably won't remember it either. But if I sat there for years and years and years, worried over it, stressed over it, bothered by it, you know what that would do to me? That would further magnify and destroy my life. So I go to them and I say, hey, listen, this is what you said. I wish you didn't say it. All right, well, I'm sorry. Or you know what? More commonly among men, I don't know why we do this to each other, men. Well, you need to deal with it. You need to suck it up. But what, I didn't know I was dealing with a little boy. I didn't know I was dealing with a lady. I'm sorry. Which again, don't do that. It's offensive. Right? The answer is he's not saying here, suck it up. You know, listen, you go to them, you handle things the way God gave us the model to handle difficulty, And if it can't be measured, well, I guess that's it. But I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to walk away. And you know what's immediately going to start to happen? I'm going to forget the name you called me. I'm going to forget the time you embarrassed me. I'm going to forget the sandwich of mine that you stole and I was really looking forward to because it was a Jimmy John sandwich and whatever. I'm going to let that go. Why? Because it'd be worth being defrauded for. It's small. It's a small thing. Small things are big things when we make them that way. They stay small things and they slip away when we handle them or if we've at least opened the door for it to be handled. I had a conversation with somebody one time. I go, listen, I go, you and I aren't seeing eye to eye, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to forgive you for this. And if ever you view this differently and you want to come talk to me, that door's open. But I want you to know I already forgive you. And I tell you what, I remember the conversation because the person got really angry at me saying that. But I can't remember what they did. I scratched my head all afternoon. What? I can't. Door's open, though. One day they're going to come to me and I'm going to say, I used you in a sermon illustration. Thank you. I remember now. No, let it go. What's the worst that could happen? Someone dinged your car. Someone stole your sandwich. Someone stepped on your brand new shoes. We don't take that to law. We don't make big deals about that. We don't try that out in a public court of opinion. We handle it right here and we let it be done with. Again, we don't shove it in a corner. We don't pretend it didn't happen. But I tell you what, we throw it out there. Now, again, some stains, they won't come out. But at least I washed it. At least I put it in the wash. At least I dealt with it. Right? So church needs to be in the right shape to mediate these kind of things to where we're not all getting bothered about dumb things. Right? Well, I tell you what, Brother Mark gave me an ugly look. And Brother Mark goes, he's sitting there saying he's giving me an ugly look. And Paula goes, you know what? He's given me an ugly look a time or two. And Charlie goes, he's always given me an ugly look. Xander comes up behind him. No, that's just my daddy's face. There are churches out there that are primed to crack. You know that? They're primed to. There's sin in the camp. There's not a lot of cohesion. There's not a lot of unity. There's sins that we're covering. There's bitternesses. There's anger. And it takes a little thing, right? We've joked before about churches that get into all-out brawls over what they're going to paint the walls, what color they're going to put on the carpet. They were falling apart long before then. The devil was priming them long before, right? That was the straw that broke the camel's back. We need to be in the right mindset to where if something like this happens, we've got the ability to sit there and say, you know, am I that brother? I don't think so. Right? Well, come here. Let's go talk to him. Come here. Hey, you come here. Let's talk. Now, you stole his sandwich. No, sometimes it's bigger than that, but let's talk. Oh, brother, that's incredibly awkward. You know what? It's almost as awkward as years of unbearable silence in a church. It's almost as awkward as two people that can't sit at the same table because of a small matter they can't even remember. Talking about it is almost as awkward as all those things, right? No, I'll trade that for a second. I would not want that. A whole section of the church I can't even walk over because sister or brother so-and-so sit over there. No. No. What do? I handle that business. And we as a church need to be able to sit there and be anti-gossip. And not in a negative, hurtful way, but in a loving way. I love you, and I love you, and we're going to get together, or I'm going to get one of those big shirts they put kids in that can't get along. Well, brother, that's childish. So are a lot of the fights that we have. Absolutely. You want to paint the walls blue. You want to paint the walls gray. And then go after it. Why? Sad feeling of vengeance, justice, and pride. That's what we need in our church. Is that sort of backwards mentality? That sort of a weird idea? No, we don't need any of those things. What we need is to wash the clothes. What we need is to handle the business. Now, I like what Paul says here. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What he's trying to say here is twofold. Number one, the best way to stay out of this trouble is not to do these things. If I always handle things properly in the church, if I handle my attitude properly, if I handle my actions properly, I will not have the trouble. And he gives a list of some pretty serious sins. Hey, don't you know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? So not only should you not act like them like you were, like such were some of you, not only should you not be that way anymore, but why on earth are we taking small matters before a world that holds these things up as their objectives? Why would we do that? Right? We're sitting there, we're telling stories about old silly church fights to a bunch of people who need the gospel. They need Christ. Why on earth would we sit there and air our dirty laundry out over ridiculous things? Because I tell you what, they'll sit there on the phone with you in one hand, a beer or whatever drug of their choice is in the other, and condemn your fellow church member for whatever it is they did while they're sitting there doing this. Why? Because the sinful heart can do that. They can. Well, what do you mean he said that? They can say that. What do you mean they said no? Even though that same mouth cusses up a storm, says all manner of ungodly things, they'll still sit there and, oh, that's horrible, that's terrible, I can't believe, in a church no less. What are we doing? Would it not be far more expedient? Right? Would it not be far more expedient for me to go and talk to that brother or sister and solve the problem? Instead of, all things are lawful. Absolutely, it's perfectly lawful, right, for me to sit there and go and solve some stupid complaint, forgive the word, but to solve some complaint, till it be perfectly lawful for me to do that. Oh, you're telling me I'm not allowed? You're not allowed to talk about what goes on in the church? What kind of calls are you in? No, it's far more better for me to go to that person and solve the problem. It's lawful, but it's not expedient. Of course I can do it, but why go through the lengthy process when I could just settle this thing outside? It really does. It makes no sense to me. How do we avoid this all is to not get into the trouble and to not magnify trouble when we see it, but to solve it, to take out the root of the problem. You ever see, maybe on the news or every now and then something will come up and something I'm looking at, like people get splinters or something and they'll get infected. You probably see the medical, if you ever worked in the medical, something just infected and it's nasty. Why? Because they got maybe a splinter or something. And they didn't take it out when it was small, so what happened? It infected everything. Right? Well, how do we do it? The moment I get the splinter, I take it out. Hey, you're not supposed to be here. You did this thing. You're hurting me. You've got to go. Right? That's it. Instead, we let it sit there. We let it fester. And all of a sudden, we lose the finger. My brother had something like that. He spent all day in the emergency room because he got something. A freckle of something. I think he was working with metal or he was underneath his car. Got a sliver of metal in his jaw. And it got so infected, it almost looked like this side of his head was double the size of the other. And I kind of looked at him and go, oh, man! He goes, nice, man. That's not real nice. I get it. I'm ugly. No, there's something wrong with your face. Yeah, man, I understand. There's something wrong with my face. No, come here. I had to take a look. Oh, no. you let it happen. You let it dig there. Right? I did the bad thing. Something got hurt. I didn't handle it. Somebody hurt me. I didn't handle it. I let it in, get infected. And all of a sudden, I feel as though I've got to find some weird way of justice to solve it. And all I've really ever done was cause trouble when the simple conversation could have fixed it. How do we avoid it? We don't get in trouble. We stay away from the bad. We deal with our business quick. And go ahead and go to verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's the solution. Glorify God in my body, in my spirit, and I recognize that both of those things are God's. That's what I do. Right? If I bring myself under God's subjection, I'm going to take what I do seriously. Right? I'd much rather apologize for something ridiculous. Right? I'd rather apologize for a misunderstanding than let a misunderstanding go. Just makes more sense. Hey, when I did this, to me, it could have been taken that way, and I want to make sure we're good. Right? Hey, I'll do that every day. Are we good? Are we okay? Well, no, as a matter of fact, I'd much rather have that conversation than sit there and go, I wonder if they're angry at me and they just don't want to say. Hey, is this a thing? That's not a thing. All right, have a good day. Hey, is this a thing? Yeah, it's a thing. Can we talk about it? Because I don't like there being a thing. Can we take care of it? Absolutely. Do you got time today? Or hey, let's talk about it now or whatever have you. Hey, I don't want to talk. I'm mad at you. Give me a couple days to settle this out. Or hey, this isn't going to go well. Let's see if we can get somebody who will sit in on the conversation with us because I want this to be done right. Because again, you have to know who you are. Are you one of those people that like to throw daggers? I knew somebody one time, they introduced themselves in a group setting as to what their biggest communicative flaw was, because that's what you do in corporate America. You just answer ridiculous questions and group things. But she goes, I've got a lashing tongue. I go, well, what? She goes, a lashing tongue. She goes, I'll get angry and I'll say horrible things. I go, oh, okay. Well, you know what? If you're that person, you've got a lashing tongue, you need to know. Before you come in, you need to bridle that thing. And if you've got a hard time bridling that thing, you need to bring somebody with you. Now, when I say bring somebody with you, I don't mean bring your hype person who will come in and encourage. Go for the eyes! Don't want that person. Go for that person like my mom who will come over and upside the back of your head and say, now you calm down. You're getting hot. This is not going to solve the problem. We sit down and we clearly define what is the goal we're trying to solve, right? Well, you come by and you smell the fresh bread, and that offends me, right? And I would like it if I was paid for this. And then we sit there and we go, you know what? It's not really, he didn't take anything from you, so I'd say, well, let's ring some coins in your ear, and then we can go home. Right? Sometimes the solution is simple. Sometimes we just need to be logical. I've got absolutely no right trying to charge somebody for something so silly. I've got absolutely no right to try to hurt somebody to make myself feel better. And I don't know about you, but hurting other people doesn't ever really make me feel better. Right? The body goes, oh, it's going to be fun to say this. It's going to be fun to do. It never is. It isn't. We had somebody that got mad at us. They owed us money. Lots of money. And because they were angry. And what my manager did is, I thought it was very good. She goes, listen, you turn over the keys, we wipe the debt, right? But you got to move out. You got 30 days. Or you could pay us and stay. Now, the traditional way of handling this is, I charge you for all the months you didn't pay me. I charge you out for the rest of your lease. And I take you to court, I trash your credit. And depending on how much you owe me, is to how much trouble you're in with the court. But no, instead she took the lighter edge of, I'll waive the debt, you give me the keys, I thought it was a very reasonable thing. They got mad, they put a hole in almost every wall. They had a fridge full of food, they pulled the plug out of the wall, just kind of let all that food get nasty. Thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. Took the keys, throw it in the toilet. Said, your apartment's empty, come get it. You didn't hurt the office. Didn't hurt the business owners. You hurt the poor guy like me who had to go in there and fix it all. Right? The poor guy like me who had to sit there. You never hurt the person you're really intending anyway. Right? They did more damage to themselves and to their credit than they could have anything else. Why? Because something deep inside them said, you know what would be fun? Hurting people. No. Don't hurt people. If you do hurt people, get that apology out there. Make restitution. Make it right. Right? If you are hurt, don't sit on it. Let's make it a conversation. Let's get it right. It is much better to have unity than it does vengeance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we dismiss tonight and head on over to that meeting, I